we're starting a little bit late today, and Mrs. Rich will be joining us in a few minutes. We're going to start with the audit committee and then go to the workshop. So we will open first the City Council Audit Committee for Tuesday, March 27th. Present this morning is Councilman McLeod, Councilman Owen, myself, Councilwoman Heimbuckle, and Matthew Brower, City Manager. We'll start with, are there any public comments before we get started? All right, the first topic for discussion, 3A, approval of December 13th Audit Committee Minutes. Mr. Brower.
Thank you, Council President. I'm going to turn the time over to our Chief Financial Officer, John Leggy.
Thank you, Matt. We have Purvis Grant Company here today to present the 2011 Independent Auditors Report. Before they come up and do the presentation, I just want to kind of remind you of kind of how we got here. Back in December, our last quarterly audit committee meeting, they came forward and presented to you the elements that go into what they look at in a financial audit. At that time, we told the audit committee that they would be coming back for field work and completing that probably within this quarter. Purvis Gray started their field work probably in about mid-February and are wrapping that up today. So what I'd like to do is bring Purvis Gray and Company's team of Mark White, Tim Westgate, and Phil Geisner forward, and they'll present the 2011 Independent Auditors Report.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, John.
Hi.
I'm Mark White. This is my partner, Tim Westgate, and Phil Geisner is right there. And we also have Catherine Eno from our staff here in the audience as well. So we're here today to essentially to conclude the audit process by reviewing our independent auditor's reports with you, the governing board. And as John said, we are essentially field work complete as of today. We did start in mid-February. We've had a team of ranging from 4 to 6 auditors here on site through today, and we are wrapped up. We wanted to let you know everything went very well. We worked well with your staff. We always get their full cooperation. We also wanted to acknowledge our good working relationship with Ms. Covington, your internal auditor. This was a transition year in that regard from Mr. Claudio, formerly, to Ms. Covington. It worked out great, and we're looking forward to even perfecting that and refining it even further now that we're past this first transition year. So I'm going to introduce Phil Geisner, who is going to review some of our auditor's reports, and then and we'll kind of rotate around up here a little bit.
Thank you.
Good morning. If you will, you have a package that Mr. Leggy has provided to you. The first item in that package is the independent auditor's report, page one. And I'm going to go through our reports and just kind of give you a high-level overview of each of them and what the paragraphs mean in each of them. So starting with that audit report, the first paragraph tells you that we've audited the financial statements. The financial statements are management's responsibility. And our responsibility is to express an opinion on the financial statements based on our audit. The second paragraph tells you that we have performed our audit in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the United States and with government auditing standards issued by the U.S. Comptroller General. The third paragraph tells you that we believe the financial statements are free of material misstatement and in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles. The fourth paragraph tells you that the city has implemented a new accounting standard related to the fund balances and governmental fund types. The fifth paragraph tells you that government auditing standards require us to issue a separate report on the city's internal control over financial reporting and on the city's compliance with certain provisions of laws, regulations, contracts, and grant agreements, and other matters that could have a material effect on the financial statements. And this report we'll go over in a minute. Moving on to page two of the independent auditor's report, these two big paragraphs basically tell you that we've extended our opinion on the financial statements to the city's schedule of expenditures of federal awards and the combining and individual non-major fund financial statements that accompany the financial statements. Moving on to page 113, the report on internal control over financial reporting and on compliance and other matters. We're pleased to report to you that we did not identify any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in the city's internal controls over financial reporting during our audit. And it should be noted that this is a significant change from the 2009 and 2010 fiscal years during which such conditions were reported. So that's a very good change that your staff has done. This report also tells you on page 114 that we have reported certain other matters to city management in a separate management letter comments that we'll go over a little later. Moving on to page 115, the independent auditor's report on compliance with requirements that could have a direct and material effect is the top of that page. We are pleased to report to you that the city complied with OMB Circular A133 compliance requirements that could have a direct and material effect on each of its major federal award programs, and that we did not identify any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in the city's internal controls over compliance related to the grants over during our audit. Moving on to page 117, the schedule of findings and question costs for federal award programs. Paragraphs 1 through 6 basically summarize everything that I've just told you. Paragraph 7 identifies the major federal award programs that were selected for testing during our audit. Paragraph 9 tells you that the city did not qualify as a low-risk auditee. This was due to findings going back to the 2009 fiscal year and also the late filing of the data collection form, which is a formal report that the city has to file with the grant agencies to report its grants, and that was late during 2009, and because of that, because the city had no findings during 2010 and 11, and the data collection form was filed timely in 2010 and will be filed timely during 2011, the city will have to reconsider that that the city was not a low-risk auditee during our 2012 fiscal year audit. So you may see a change in that going forward. On page 118, it just tells you the same information that we've just previously discussed. And now I'm going to go to the management letter, page 129. This is a required letter by the Florida Auditor General who requires that we address the city's compliance with certain matters. Some of these matters include reporting on whether the city has taken corrective actions to address prior findings and recommendations, compliance with Florida statutes regarding the investments of public funds, disclosure of the official title and legal authority for the city, and recommendations to improve the financial operations of the city, which we've addressed in our management letter comments that you'll find on page 131. It should be noted that city management has encouraged us to provide recommendations to improve the city's operation, as has council, and we are pleased to do so. And at this time, I'm going to turn the presentation back over to Mark, who's going to review the management letter comments with you at this time.
Okay, thank you, Phil. On page 131, I just wanted to point out a couple of what we consider to be the higher level comments for the council's consideration. On page 131, under prior year comments and recommendations remaining, you can see that last year, under the Crystal River 3 nuclear decommissioning monitoring item, last year we were pointing out that Progress Energy, the primary owner and operator, had applied for a 20-year license to extend the plant life, and we were basically recommending that y'all review your nuclear decommissioning funding and liability accruals as a result of that. Much has transpired since then. If you look under the 2011 update, the Crystal River 3 nuclear unit has been found to have some cracking and delamination in the upper portions of the concrete containment structure, which has basically thrown everything into organized chaos over there. At this point, they believe they're going to repair the plant, but they're, you know, still dealing with their insurer and a lot of other variables. So our point in bringing this up to you guys is that, you know, you are a minority owner of that plant, and ultimately what happens with these repairs to the containment structure has the potential to affect you financially one way or the other. We believe that, you know, the best indication so far is that they're going to go ahead and repair it, but we don't know that for a fact. If they do not, it could accelerate the decommissioning of the plant, and you guys may have to step up for some funding quicker than you thought. There's just a lot of questions and variables, excuse me, over there right now. So we're just bringing that to your attention. I know your staff monitors that closely, but it is a pretty big ticket item. And then also over on page 132, continuing to 133, are our current year comments. There's two or three of those that we wanted to bring to your attention. The first one, starting at the bottom of 132, regarding the city's defined benefit pension plans. Really, I think starting at the top of 133 is the essence of that comment. And we're basically saying that we are aware that, as recommended by us in prior years, that you all have engaged your own actuary, one that does not have fiduciary responsibility to the pension plans, to help assist you in evaluating the plans and the benefits and what your options are. And we think that's a great idea, and we think it's very much needed. The contribution rates that the plans are requiring now, general employees is up in the 40% range of covered payroll, and police and fire in the 30% range. Additionally, the unfunded accrued actuarial liability for your general employees plan, meaning how much the funding is short compared to what has been earned by the employees and participants in the plan, is $92 million. That's an extremely large number. The police and the fire plans are in the 2015 range, but cumulatively those three add up to $130 million of potential future funding required just for what's been earned to date. So we think your efforts in working with the actuaries are a very good idea, and we're really hoping they've got some great options for you guys. I know Jim Rizzo is one of the better ones in the state. We've worked with him for many years on various clients, and we hope he's got some good options for you. So that's a big ticket item.
Matt, what's our timeline on that?
It's, if I recall, they're evaluating the options that council gave them at the February work meeting. They're going to return, I think, in April's time frame.
Yeah, probably about another 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's the pension plans. Following that is bulk power cost adjustment, BPCA. And we're just pointing out here, you know, you've all seen the news headlines. Natural gas is at a all-time low, which is the primary fuel component for most of the FMPA fleet that serves your electric load. So your cost of power, if you will, your bulk power purchased, has been going down and down and down, because that is one of the primary drivers of what you pay for that power. And as a result, y'all have found yourself over collecting in your bulk power cost adjustment for a little while. And you have approximately, after transferring approximately $11 million recently from the BPCA to your rate stabilization fund, you have about $32 million in your rate stabilization fund, and you have $11 million approximately about now in over-recovered power costs. So, you know, you guys are in a pretty strong position in that regard, especially with those fuel costs remaining low. So I think you're in a position now for you to start to be returning some of the over-collected bulk power cost adjustment. And I know y'all are looking at a summer plan for that. as you know, when the consumption is high, so that the benefit is the most for the ratepayer. And then lastly, on 133, in terms of the big picture items, we just wanted to point out that the electric fund for 2011 actually experienced a decrease in net assets of approximately $11 million for the year. There was no one single one thing that we can attribute that to. It was really a series of things. As you know, you just went through a very, very mild winter. The weather affects kilowatt hour sales and profitability of the plan. So 2012 isn't looking a whole lot better. 2011 had decreased sales from 2010. That was part of it. You transferred some EIF money out of the plan to the general fund. Just about every variable that could go in either direction went all in one way during this year. We're basically reminding y'all to keep a close eye on that. We're aware that you've had a rate change that was effective with the new fiscal year. But as I said, the 2012 year that we are in now, you just went through a very, very mild winter, so the kilowatt hour sales have not been strong enough to really fully implement that rate change so that you could see a big difference. So we're concerned that 2012 may not be a great year financially for the fund as well. So it's just kind of a heads up caution to keep a very close eye on that. And of course, that rate change that you did, you were able to basically keep the rates for the customer exactly the same. What you added to the base you took out of the BPCA. And you know, you may just have to keep an eye on that. It's too early to say, but there may be future changes like that needed as well. And then we have a variety of other comments that I know you guys have had a chance to read. We would be glad to answer any questions on any of them that you might have. I think that was all. Those were the major items that we wanted to point out.
Yeah, right. Just not so much about this. I'm just probably going to every meeting, as you know, ask you, are you continuing to experience positive culture change and working with the city?
Yes, and thank you. I meant to say something about that as I started out. Last year's auditor's report was dated June 20th, 2011, and this one is dated today. So that's a 3-month improvement in the timeline, which is pretty significant. And yes, we continue, as Phil said, as he reviewed the reports on internal control and compliance, we had no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses in internal control over financial reporting, which is a substantial improvement. And things just keep getting better every single year. You know, we're real pleased with the progress that the city has made and is continuing to make. You can see we've got a variety of other issues here. There's still things going on. There's still, you know, we've got the main issues under control, and now you spread out to some of the peripheral issues to get them as well. So there's still work to be done,
right. But
much, 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 much further along.
Well, appreciate all your work, and Matt and staff and everybody on down the line appreciate mm-hmm. all the openness and transparency and all those buzzwords, but it's really important to be able to produce a document like this. So
we really appreciate that feedback. It is our hope to constantly improve our game, but the credit really goes to John and Cindy and the internal auditor. Done a fabulous job, and we look to elevate that game year in and year out.
Appreciate it, John. It's good stuff.
Yes, we'd like to also thank your entire staff. We get great cooperation from them, and it's a cooperative effort when we move in for several weeks. So thank you all.
Thank appreciate you. All the work.
Appreciate mm-hmm. it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Do you have anything?
No, I'm good.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Do we need to approve those things? That's approved the minutes that we need to.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take a roll call on that.
Do we need a roll call?
We need a motion for that.
Okay. But 3A is approval of minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, we still need to circle back and approve those.
Okay, we're gonna, okay, we're gonna go on to the internal auditor.
Okay.
Jeannie?
Hi, Jeannie Covington, City Internal Audit Office. Just wanted to give you an update and a recap of where I've been since the last audit committee meeting. And you've received all the audit reports that I have indicated here as completed, with the exception of the Downtown Business Alliance Farm Market, which I just issued this morning, sent out an email, but I also provided you a hard copy of it since I was able to see you this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that as well. So the completed audit since the last audit committee, the Ocala Municipal Golf Course, and management is continuing, being very proactive in strengthening controls and improving operating procedures as they go along. The Downtown Business Alliance Farm Market agreement, I know you haven't had a chance to read that report yet. It's a little bit different format than I've given before. It's actually 15 pages, but a lot of it is just informational for you. I did have a chance to talk with 30 downtown merchants, so I provided you with all of their comments. I also reviewed over 200 customer comments cards on the farmers market, so I took a sample of those comments. I mean, there were way too many to give you, so when they, you know, just kept saying excellent, good, I kind of left those off and provided you with a summary of those. I also gave you some information on the cottage food industry law. So that was new to me, and I thought the document that I provided in the audit report would be helpful to you. And then a summary of the expenses that the city has made, and also provided you with the profit and loss statement that the farm market CPA firm has completed through the end of February. So I'll let you go ahead and review that report, and then if you have any questions about it, just let me know, or if you would like me to do any additional procedures on that.
Okay.
And then the other audits that were completed were external audit assistance for the financial audit. And I have gone over these with you before, but just to highlight again, the procurement card, payroll, the search for unreported liabilities, utility billing and travel expenses. And my hopes are to be able to start testing this on a quarterly basis, so by the time the end of the fiscal year comes around, and hopefully by October 31st, all of this work will be completed for the external auditors. And projects that I still have open is the Ocala Fire Department tuition and training costs. Hope to get that completed by mid-April, and I have scheduled meetings with Utility Services Warehouse on the loss prevention review that we're going to be doing over there.
Okay. Any questions? Comments?
There's a lot of completeds on there. What are you doing, working?
Trying.
Good stuff.
And then most importantly, I'd like to introduce, in addition to the audit department, this is Sharonda Leslie, and she's a part-time audit specialist, and she's currently enrolled as a student at St. Leo's University in the Bachelor of Arts Accounting program.
Very good.
Very good, thank you. Welcome
nice
to the
you.
City. Are there any questions? Okay.
No. We just need to circle back to item A in the
yes.
30 minutes.
I'm wondering why Astrida keeps popping up.
Sorry.
Okay, we need to approve the minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have some minutes here?
Well, I emailed them to you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Madam President, I move for approval of the December 13th Audit Committee minutes.
I have a motion for approval.
Madam President, I'll second the motion.
I have a motion and a second. Are there any public comments on the minutes for the last audit meeting? Seeing none, call the roll.
Mr. Olin?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbel?
Aye. Okay, we're going to close the Audit Committee meeting for Tuesday, March 27th, and we're going to open a City Council work session. Okay.
Good afternoon.
One second, we're changing the time.
Oh,
so
okay. I know, you're ready.
I know, I'm sorry.
Our staff staff is aggressive and
I
ready
know.
To go.
They are ready to roll.
For the record, that is changing the tape, not turning it off, correct?
Correct. Just getting a new one.